Well, good morning. I hope your Lenten journey is going well. If not, well, today's a good day to get going, right? The grace of the season is wonderful. The scriptures that we have both Sundays, and I would encourage you to read and work with the weekday readings as well. A marvelous retreat for us all in this next month that lies ahead. We have two wonderful stories today, two that I'm sure you're very familiar with, but they're the kind of stories that are inexhaustible in their wisdom and what's there. We spend our whole lifetime pondering the deeper meanings of these two accounts. The first, oftentimes called the binding of Isaac, or the sacrifice of Isaac, although Isaac never actually gets sacrificed. And we ponder it and we wonder, well, how could God ever take this son and kill him? And Abraham, of course, was relying on Isaac for the Lord to fulfill his promises of future generations. And yet here he is supposed to kill Isaac. But he obeys. He obeys not understanding. And that might be one of our lessons for us today. We don't always understand the things of God. In fact, we seldom do. And yet, nevertheless, the wisdom of God is so far above our wisdom. And that's one of the lessons here. You know, we don't understand, but as the scriptures say, God says, my ways are so far above your ways, my understanding so far above yours. Don't think you can second guess me, if you will. The other lesson that's here, God is faithful to his promises to Abraham. God does fulfill his promises, which we hear again today, the terms of the second great commandment between God and Abraham and his family. It is, though, an opportunity for Abraham to express his trust in God, his faith, and that's why we always hold him up as the man of faith in the Hebrew Scriptures, because of this story today. He expresses his own faithfulness to the covenant, even though he doesn't quite understand. There is a distinction here, you know, in neighboring peoples, there was still at this time the sacrificing, a human sacrifice. And so the story in part tells us, well, that's not going to be a part of the God of Abraham, of the faith of Abraham or his descendants. But it also makes the distinction between sacrificing something or someone to God versus self-sacrifice. Abraham was willing to sacrifice that which he was his most beloved. There is an important lesson here, and it has served through how many generations have read this story, have listened to this story, have pondered its deeper meaning, just as we have today. It is indeed one of the treasures that we find in the Hebrew Scriptures. The church combines it in our lectionary with the story of the Transfiguration. And here, you know, we're in the B cycle of readings, which means we're following St. Mark's Gospel this year. And so we have his account of the Transfiguration, which is unique in several ways. One of them, of course, it's the first account. Mark is the oldest and the first of the Gospels. But also, in Mark's Gospel, context is important. That is, where this story fits with the other stories before and after in the account of the life of Christ. In Mark's Gospel, then, we've just come through two chapters ago, the cure of the deaf man and then the curing of a blind man, speaking to us, of course, not only about the power of Christ to heal, but of spiritual deafness or spiritual blindness, the ability to see, the ability to hear the word of God and to grasp its deeper meaning. And Jesus is the key then to opening our eyes and opening our ears to this. It's followed up by Peter's profession of faith. Who do people say that I am? And Peter gets it right. And this really is the center point, if you will, of Mark's gospel. All before it is led up to who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Peter tells us exactly. But then once we know he's the Messiah, the question remains, how is he the Messiah? How does he save us? And so we follow Peter's profession of faith with the prediction of the passion. And then the scolding of Peter, who tries to say, oh no, that can't be. Peter is hearing, but he's not understanding. This then leads us to the Transfiguration. So context is important here. When we think of the Transfiguration in isolation, it fits wonderfully into our ambitious plans of glory and success, right? We're on the winning team. Our Savior comes, he's the hero. He's stronger and faster and smarter than his foes. He wins with power. But that's not the Transfiguration. It is not this. Luke gives us what they were actually talking about when Jesus and the prophet and Moses were talking on the mountain. Luke tells us they were talking about the Passion. And all the Gospels agree that from the mountaintop, Jesus made his way down and then made his way to Jerusalem, where he would give his life. So the Transfiguration cannot be separated from the Passion of Christ. It cannot be separated from the Paschal Mystery. Listening to him is what we're told to do, of course. And we know that that means prayer, and it means praying and studying the Scriptures. We listen to him in our efforts to lead the moral life, but it's more than that. To listen to him about dying and rising, about how death gives life, about take up your cross and follow. And there is great resistance within us, just as there was in Peter, to grasp this as being central to our faith, to grasp it and to understand. When we read about the account of the Transfiguration following the prediction of his Passion, and as a confirmation of his teaching about serving, about being least, about giving of ourselves fully in trust, connecting it back to our first story today of Abraham, we begin to understand that the glory of God is an enigma. It's a promise of glory and fulfillment through embracing the cross. It is incomprehensible to us. We can ponder the meaning of this all of our life, and we will never fully grasp it. That's what we call a mystery, the Paschal Mystery, to be exact. Contrary to the values around us, contrary to the way that just makes sense because we live in this society and in these times. On the mountain, it was the law, Moses, and the prophets, Isaiah, who Jesus is talking with. But then it says, they looked up and Jesus was standing there alone. And then the voice listened to him. In other words, he is the summary of all the Scriptures. He is wisdom from the Father. But he will lead us to the Passion. And we are invited to listen to that. Our Father tells us, listen to him. And then Jesus speaks about his Passion to the disciples before they even go down the mountain. All the covenants that we've been looking at and will look at during this season lead us to this covenant, the covenant at the altar, where we celebrate the gift, really, of Christ giving his body and blood for us. The covenant at the altar in which we affirm every time we gather here for Mass, where we are called to the imitation of Christ, sacrificial love. It is the term of the covenant at the altar, the greatest of the covenants of all Scriptures. And so we focus there. Lent is not about saying more prayer. It's not about giving up this or that. It's not about improving my behavior in some way. It's about the Passion. It's about the Paschal Mystery. It is about dying so that we might rise with him, which is baptism. It is, and what we will experience firsthand during the powerful liturgies of Holy Week. And yet, we still do not understand. The story of the sacrificing of Isaac calls us to sacrifice our own plans, what we base our own hopes on, and who we place our trust in. We'd readily follow a glorified God who is all-powerful and saving us as a knight shining in riding in on a shining horse, but this is not our Savior. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Instead of defeating the enemy with his might, he gave his life. And we are called then to listen to him. Being strong, being right, my own judgments, having my own way, is not from listening to him, nor is it a way of following him. Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all." The apostles, they were not ready to understand as they came down that mountain. This is why Jesus bid them to be quiet, to not share what they had seen, because they saw but did not understand. They needed to listen more, to listen now, and would only understand after they themselves had experienced the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. Even Jesus on the cross refused to use power to condemn those who put him there. And God the Father Almighty did not use his power or control to save his Son. So why do we seek to do so? The Father speaks to us only one time in all of Scriptures, and that is in our gospel today. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him."